Gaudete, which is what we refer to as this Sunday in which we light the rose candle, and it's rose, not pink. apparently that's very important. I saw all sorts of discussion online because apparently when clergy start getting a little bit punchy this time of year, they argue over words like pink and rose. So, but Gaudete is from an ancient introit. An introit was, as at the beginning of the ancient Eucharist, an introit was a hymn that was usually based on a piece of scripture. And Gaudete means to rejoice. Now, it seems kind of interesting on the Sunday that we are called to rejoice, our gospel starts off by calling us a brood of vipers. And I'm sure that, I always think about, this is like one of those things that they usually, when you take homiletics or preaching classes, one of the things they usually teach you is, you don't start off a sermon by insulting your audience, but, but we have John, who shows up, of course, at the riverside to baptize people, and, he's came out of the wilderness, and we have all sorts of people showing up. And a lot of people are wondering if John may be the Messiah because, he's a man of great words and he has the right pedigree. And even though he, could use a comb and maybe a wardrobe change, at least he comes from good people. But as people showing up, I'm sure there's that shock of the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and all these important, righteous people to suddenly be called a brood of vipers. I think what might have been a bigger shock is when they realized that John was onto them, that being the son of a priest himself and spending probably a lot of his childhood around important, religious people and leaders, he understood that things on the surface do not always reflect on what's going on, in reality. They would have a great outward appearance of great piety, but he knew that many of these men were profiting off their positions, that they were using their authority wrongly, that they were often in cahoots with people they probably shouldn't be in cahoots with. And to have John stand out there and to tell them that, that he knew what was going on and he wanted them to know that salvation is available to each and every one of us. It's just that we have to live into it. Our inward life has to match our outward. That it's not enough to just appear that we are good and pious church-going people, that the rest of our lives need to reflect that. And of course, he's then hits them in the pocketbook. Nobody likes to be by explaining to them that, if you see somebody in need, help them. That if you have two coats and you see somebody who needs a coat, who's cold, give them that coat. If you have extra food, feed the person who needs to be fed. To share what has been given to you through God with other people. And sometimes that's very difficult because even today, because sometimes we have in our mind is there's often, I think more often than not, it's not so much even greed as it is fear of scarcity that happens sometimes in our mind, that what happens if there's not enough? Sometimes it is greed because it's that idea, I've worked really hard for this and it's mine. But what John is telling them is that you need to live into the good news. It's not enough just to talk about it. And of course, we have people coming to him on the shore that you would not imagine coming to a person to be baptized, such as they talk about the tax collectors. And the tax collectors, there was a certain amount of money they were supposed to collect, and there was a certain percentage they were allowed to keep. And often what would happen is they would bump up that little percentage mark, and who's going to argue with a guy who has two Roman soldiers behind him? Because you could either give that little extra, or else they take the fear of them taking everything. And we have him telling them to go ahead, do your job, but don't take more than what you are called to take. And then he had the soldiers. And back then, a lot of the people who were called to enforce the law took advantage of their position, accepting bribes, forcing people to, little payoffs and such like that, bullying people around. And again, John is telling them to basically do your job, be happy with what you're being given in wages. In other words, live like you're supposed to live. To share of ourselves. And, those things haven't changed today. We're still being called to show the joy that we are celebrating today. See, this is where the whole joy part comes into this whole rejoicing part, is that we are people who live into this faith of Jesus Christ, of the Christ who came to us in that manger so many years ago, that first coming, and of the Christ who has promised us that he will come again. We live into that faith, and as followers of that Christ, we live into the good news that we are supposed to love our neighbors and to give of ourselves. To share not only the goods and those other things that we've been given abundantly in our lives, but also to share the joy, the wonder, the hope that each of us as Christians share. Now, sometimes I think it's easier to write a check than it is to share our joy. Because first we have to have joy. And sometimes in this time of year when we all, every Christmas card has joy across the front of it, we get ourselves so wrapped up in everything that really, I guess what we've been told what Christmas is about, that seemed to have very little to do with Christmas. Instead of a joyful celebration, we make it into this big race to get all this impossible stuff done. And then we can't figure out why we're not enjoying the season anymore. And that's why we have Advent, is this time in which we slow down, in which we, yes, there's still 1,000 things we need to get done before Christmas. Heck, there's about 1,000 things we need to get done in this church before Thursday. But those things will happen, or they won't. Maybe instead of focusing on how we're going to decorate the 6th Christmas tree in our house, to take that time to relax and to think about all the wonderful things that God has given us, and then to share that with other people. Smiling at that stranger on the street, wishing somebody a Merry Christmas or a Happy Holiday, holding a door for somebody, all these little simple things that just seem, that seem not to matter. But they do. They add up. And this is how we share our joys, through little acts. I'm very excited about the, this Thursday we have our lessons and carols. The reason this excites me is this idea that makes me happy is this idea that we have at least three people from three different congregations joining together to take time out to pray, to listen to the Word of God, to sing, enjoy a little bit of fellowship, to do those things in which Advent's really all about. And I think in many ways, we need more of that. That time in which to share. I promise you, I don't need another liturgy to write or put together. But looking at opportunities in which we can just be with one another. To be not only with one another, but with Christ, and to share Christ. The Sunday we are called to rejoice, and rejoice we will, in this wonderful celebration of the Eucharist, in our fellowship with one another. We will rejoice with the generosity of those of you who have brought in so many wonderful gifts for those in need. But mostly, it's this time to rejoice in the knowledge that we are God's children, and through Christ, co-inheritors of this kingdom, this wonderful promise, yet at the same time, reality. So my sisters and brothers, this week as you go out, as you leave the church today, as you go out and run out and maybe do your last minute shopping or get your house ready, take some time out just to feel the joy. As I said earlier, if you don't feel the joy, how can you share it?